put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TRUCKERRANDY or call 800-654-9659.
Attack. Time has come, we're gonna take it back. Just wait and see, don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Tread on me. The time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends. Gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second hour of Your Defending Fathers, Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Joining us as usual every Friday from 10 to 11 is Pastor Chatfield. He has a history lesson always prepared for us. Good morning, sir. Oh, you need to unmute your mic.
Good morning.
Yeah, there you go.
Good morning.
Hey, you must be teaching the kids about the time around Abraham Lincoln.
You got it. I was just finished talking about the Civil War and Reconstruction. And this, it kind of reminds me of what Rush Limbaugh used to say. He used to say, I talk about what interests me. I mean, this interests me, what happened and the life of John Wilkes Booth. As you know, he was the person that assassinated Abraham Lincoln. He was, I don't have all the dates of his birth. I should have written that down. But he was a young man in 1865. He was born into a family of actors. His dad left. His first wife in England ran off to America with his mistress, eventually got married. They had, I think they had 10 or 11 children. John Wilkes Booth was the ninth. He was born in Maryland, and his dad was maybe the best actor in the world at the time. Later, John Wilkes Booth becomes an actor. His brother Edwin becomes an actor. It's a family of actors on the stage, and he was... By the time 1860 came along, he was a well-known actor. Ironically, even Abraham Lincoln saw him act at one of his plays and was somewhat interested in meeting him. And so that's who John Wilkes Booth was. And they were Shakespearean actors. John Wilkes Booth would be the equivalent of Brad Pitt today, or whoever is the most handsome guy in the world today, which is probably not Randy Bishop or Rusty Chatfield, but whatever. He was considered John Wilkes Booth. He was great at and he was a swordsman, fencing. And that was a part of the stage, a lot of action, and he was dramatic. Some considered him a genius actor. And he was, of course, a Southern sympathizer throughout the war. he supported the South. He promised his mother, and there were a lot of things like this happened throughout the course of the war. He promised his mother that he would not join the Confederate Army, however, and he really started to feel guilty because he believed in slavery and actually thought, as a lot of Southerners did, that slavery was a social blessing. It was good for slaves. It improved their lot, and it's a part of the natural order of things for black people to be slaves. And it was good, and that the Northerners, the so-called black Republicans, of which Lincoln was the first, was trying to end their way of life. So that's kind of the background of John Wilkes Booth. So let me...
One of the questions I have about him, being an actor, you know how so many of our actors in Hollywood today are politically active. We just had the brutal killing of Rob Reiner and President Donald Trump's horrific, unbelievable post on his Truth Social about Rob. I mean, does this go all the way back then to the 1800s where actors and people in you know, plays at the time, not movies like we have today, but they were politically active just like today, just like Hollywood is today?
I think to some measure, yes. I'll get into this on the other side, yes.
Absolutely. Excellent. Tee up for the next segment. Short break, a word from our sponsors. We'll be right back. The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sault Ste. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
This is Kevin Kievsky, and I'm running for the Republican nomination for Michigan Attorney General. Our Second Amendment rights are under attack, and as Attorney General, I'll make constitutional carry a reality and defend your Second Amendment freedoms. No more permits for law-abiding citizens to exercise the rights and protect their families. I've stood up for liberty. Now stand with me to make Michigan red again. Endorse me at the March Convention and safeguard our Constitution. Paid for by Kevin Kievsky for Michigan, kevin4mi.com.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. SlimFast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days, without any exercising. Then I met Missy, a MyPure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com. Follow my journey with Missy and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
This is Kevin Kievsky, and I'm running for the Republican nomination for Michigan Attorney General. I'll fight for election integrity like no one else. Only U.S. citizens should vote, and I know how to secure our elections. No more fraud, no more doubts. Every legal vote will count. Delegates, endorse me at the March Convention to restore trust in our elections, and together we'll make Michigan red again. Paid for by Kevin Kievsky for Michigan, kevin4mi.com.
Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey wants to ask you a question. Have you exercised your Second Amendment rights lately? Well, if you haven't, get on over to Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey and talk to the old gun doctor about purchasing your next firearm, whether that be a concealed carry firearm or maybe an AR-15, perhaps an AK-47, or even just an old lever action. The gun doctor also works on every kind of firearm except maybe an Abrams tank. So you know your baby's in good hands. Curtis Gunsmith. Call 231-838-5571.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Second segment of our history lesson with Pastor Chatfield. Let's pick up right where we left off. Obviously, John Wilkes Booth was very politically astute, very politically active. He just wasn't an actor in plays. He felt compelled to actually take up the Southern cause regarding the Civil War and is basically, obviously, hatred of Abraham Lincoln.
Yes, he was very well known. He had an older brother, Edwin, who was a great actor also, who had voted for Lincoln, and they had arguments about slavery, the cause, the future of slavery. And so that is family divided, as much of the country, of course, was divided. Booth's original plan was to, let me back up and say, he during the course of the war, he had this nagging guilt that he was a coward. And he'd written a letter to his mother, says, I have to deem myself a coward. I should be out there fighting. But he did develop this plan originally, a year or so earlier, to kidnap President Lincoln and to hold him hostage and use it as a means to end the war. It never came to fruition. Then, as the war looked worse and worse for the South, it came to the point where he was going to try to assassinate Lincoln. He got a band of people around him. The original plan was to kill Lincoln, William Seward, who was the Secretary of State, and Vice President Andrew Johnson. Kill all three of them. Did he think that he could decapitate the government? Because after the president's the vice president, and after the vice president's the Secretary of State, according to our Constitution. In other words, he could cause the war to end. Did not happen. So he goes in April 14th, which was Good Friday, to get his mail at Ford's Theater, because he'd performed there many times. And while he was there, he heard somebody say that the president was supposed to be there tonight. That's when he says, okay, this is the night. The plan was he was going to kill the president, somebody else was going to kill Seward, and somebody else was going to kill Vice President Andrew Johnson. The person that was going to kill Johnson just got too scared and didn't do it. A man did go in and stabbed William Seward numerous times in the face, neck, but he survived. The president did have, or supposed to have, a bodyguard at all times, but he had kind of was in there, slipped out, went across the street, and went to a bar. Seward, it was not unusual to see him at the theater, so he just kind of walks around, walks up to the presidential booth, and with a Dillinger, one shot, shoots Abraham Lincoln in the back of the head. The play that they were watching was Our American Cousin, which was a comedy. And bam, and it was silence all across the theater. And then next thing you hear is Mary Todd Lincoln crying. Booth jumps from the presidential box onto the stage, breaks his leg, sic temporis, in Latin, he speaks something in Latin, thus it be ever the tyrants, which was the saying of the state of Virginia. Six Semper Tyrus. I'd have to look that up. I'm not a Latin speaker. So he goes and he runs out. He'd already had a horse prepared, limps out, basically gets on horseback, flees. He's followed. He's shot in a barn 12 days later, and thus ends his life. The last thing he was reputed to say, to lift his hand up barely and says, useless, useless. And he goes down in history as the first presidential assassin in history. And during those 12 days when he was fleeing, nobody was praising him. Even Southern papers weren't praising him. Robert E. Lee, when he heard about it, called this deplorable. It's terrible. It's the highest of crimes to assassinate somebody like this. It's not what he expected. Somehow he thought that the South would count him as a hero. Very few did. I mean, the South, Lee had already surrendered to Grant. The war was going to be lost. This just made things worse. And what's more, a lot of the Northerners says, we got to punish the South even more because of this. And Southerners realized that this didn't help our cause. This is going to hurt our cause. Most people, all the people in the North, most of the people in the South view this as a cowardly act, just to assassinate somebody. And so he died very upset with himself. He wasn't a hero, and thus ends the life of, as much reading as I've done about this, I don't know if I've done a good job explaining who he was, but I'm open to any questions, I guess.
Well, that's what I wanted to talk about. Those 12 days after he fled, like you mentioned, you know, suffered a broken leg. Who was the doctor that he went and tried to seek medical attention from, and or others that were part of his plan? Who was that doctor that was involved in that?
I would have to look that up, Randy.
Isn't his name Mudd? I thought it was Dr. Mudd, and that saying, you know, is about your name is as good as mud or whatever. It came from the fact that that doctor tried to give him medical assistance, and they actually surrounded him and attempted to burn the barn down if he didn't come out.
Right,
didn't surrender.
Right, right. The Latin here is Sic Semper Tyrannis. That's the Latin. Thus be it to tyrants.
Yeah,
and so he was. I mean, people try to find significance in the world. In other words, you want to do something important. Well, he did something important, just bad. I mean, just horrendous, though. Part of me looks back at history at this now and says, well, I used to say, boy, Reconstruction would have been a lot better if Abraham Lincoln would have lived through it. And it would have gone better. Now I say I probably wouldn't have. I mean, it is true that Andrew Johnson did not have the political skills of Abraham Lincoln. That said, and Johnson was trying to implement Lincoln's lenient plan of Reconstruction, the 10% plan, let him back in easy, set up state governments as soon as possible. But that, the fact of the matter is, the South wasn't going to immediately embrace black people and accord them all their civil rights and voting rights. They weren't going to. Now the slaves were not, the black people were not re-enslaved exactly, but once Reconstruction ended, it didn't matter who was president. Whether it would be Grant during Reconstruction or Hayes after, or whoever, Garfield, Arthur, you're not going to change a couple of hundred years of society's thinking about slavery and the social order of things with a new administration. I look back at it now and I would say that Lincoln, I'm not sure he could have done any better job than the other presidents did, that Johnson could have done. I don't know, obviously, but because there was such animosity, especially on the South toward the North, such animosity. That's just the way it is. Lincoln, on April 14th, everybody said he was in a good mood, and he enjoyed the play. He was laughing. He liked comedies. So there he was watching this comedy. Next thing you know, he's in heaven. Next thing you know, he wakes up in heaven. Do I think he was a Christian? I do. But, I mean, it was a time that slavery, yes, could be ended by the Civil War. Yes, and it was. And the 13th Amendment, yes, it was. But nothing was ever going to be perfect. And there you have it.
Well, you know, the thing of it is that I thought was kind of interesting, and you mentioned this, is the South did not respond well to the assassination of President Lincoln. I mean, forget that the war was just over a few days actually before then, but even though they didn't like Abraham Lincoln, they didn't like the Union forces fighting and killing all those Confederate soldiers, tore families apart. But again, assassination, like you said, first presidential assassination in the history of our country, basically was not well received by the South in any way, shape, or form.
They were smart. By the way, I just see this. Yes, the doctor that treated him was Dr. Samuel Mudd, M-U-D-D.
Yes, and so, that's it.
Because the South could see, Lee could see, Southerners said that Lincoln was the best friend they had right now. Lincoln was going to let them back in easy. After this, the radical Republicans gained ascendancy, and they won big majorities in the 1866 off-year elections. And their idea was to punish the South and to keep federal troops in there longer. And in other words, it had the opposite effect of what Booth had imagined it would. The opposite effect. It didn't help the Southern cause. It hurt the Southern cause. That is the way that is.
Well, the thing of it is that I think, looking back on, again, on history, is there's always ramifications. There's always responses to assassinations. For example, just look at Charlie Kirk and Turning Point USA, and how many new chapters are forming now across the country as a result of his assassination. And I just find it so interesting. There's the general public responds whenever they feel that there's a wrongdoing. And I think this is a perfect example of that. And Charlie Kirk's death, very similar to the response that happened, you know, during Abraham Lincoln's assassination.
Right. Yes, I think that's a valid comparison. Most decent people, when Charlie Kirk was assassinated, were just saying this is an outrage, even liberals. And conservatives should take the high road with things like this. I was curious if you had talked about the post that President Lincoln had on social media had put out concerning the death of Rob Reiner. So you have talked about that, correct?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, and again, Donald Trump, I mean, I support his policies. I do not support his social media posts in any way, shape, or form. I understand what Rob Reiner said about the president, you know, Trump derangement syndrome to the max, but that was totally inappropriate what the president said.
It doesn't help. It doesn't help.
Right.
I mean, you should take the high road. Do you think you convinced anybody to come to your way of thinking by that statement? I've read people that are defending what the president said. I don't.
I don't either. Not at all, in any way, shape, or form.
I don't. But you're just better off. You know, it's like Mickey Mouse used to say, or, you know, if you can't say anything nice, don't say it. Right? Just don't say that.